6 o'clock and 8 o'clock tonight, Conservative MPs will be lining up to make their decision. Ultimately, has it been Theresa May's betrayal of the unionists in Northern Ireland, of the DUP, that has brought her down? They warned her. They told her that she was dicing with political death. And here she is now fighting for her career. The leader of the Alliance Party, Naomi Long, with us this morning. Good morning to you.
Morning, Stephen.
Good morning. And I want to try to concentrate as much as possible as to the impact that this will have on Northern Ireland, depending on whether Theresa May stays or a new leader comes in, Naomi.
Well, Theresa May, I think, will be returned as party leader of the Conservative Party tonight, because I think the truth of this is that there's no one else who is willing to step forward who has a better plan than the one that she has tried to formulate. They know, those who advocated for Brexit, that if they're going to take the country off a cliff edge, they'll be held to account for it. And so I don't believe that anyone will step forward to challenge her leadership, and I believe that she'll be returned with a vote of confidence tonight. But I have to say that this is...
Well, surely some of the 48 who have written the letters, some of them might step forward for leadership. You don't think Boris is going to step forward?
Well, he hasn't done so yet, and he would have a cheek because, I mean, he sat in the cabinet for the last 2 years and was part of the cabinet that led us to this point. And, you know, I think for him to now step forward and say he could do a better job really defies the evidence that he's presented over the last 2 years in the role that he had, where he really didn't achieve anything other than chaos. So from my point of view, this seems to be driven entirely, again, by people's personal animosities, by people's personal ambitions. And the country is just now collateral damage in a Tory war of attrition around Europe. And that has been the case for a very long time, right from John Major and the Maastricht Treaty, right through until David Cameron said, let's have a referendum to deal with his own backbenchers. Instead of addressing that as a matter of discipline, he took us to a vote on Brexit to deal with it, and the hope that they would be silenced. And obviously that's not what the outcome was. And now Theresa May is the next Prime Minister who is going to end up being abused by the same group of people, a small but very vocal group of people within her own party. And in some ways, I don't care who leads the Conservative Party. It's not my particular.
But if you have all of this chaos
care
with
the Prime Minister is going to be, yeah. And I care about the chaos, Stephen, and you're absolutely right. The Prime Minister today has PMQs. She's meeting with Arlene Foster. She's meant to be meeting with the Taoiseach Leo Varadkar. She has been going around Europe trying to find this perfect Brexit deal that doesn't exist but that will satisfy everyone in the House of Commons. And instead of focusing on the fact that we're now just over 3 months away from the Brexit end date, she is having to fight for the leadership of the Conservative Party. How utterly reckless a party are we dealing with in government that would cause this kind of chaos in the middle of what is one of, I think, the most serious periods of our history. Unbelievably reckless and unbelievably disregarding the future of the country. And I think, to be honest, the country will judge them very badly.
Maybe the DUP would say that they warned her, Naomi, and that if a Prime Minister wants to break promises on keeping the United Kingdom together, this is what will happen to them.
But she hasn't broken those promises. And I mean, to be clear, the DUP warned her last December and then agreed the withdrawal agreement. So just to be clear about that, they agreed the withdrawal agreement, how it would be framed last December. What they're not agreeing now is the legal text that gives weight to what she agreed last December. So she hasn't let them down. The country is not being broken up. Europe has compromised and allowed the entirety of the UK to remain within the customs union rather than the Northern Ireland only backstop, which would have risked essentially separating us out from the rest of the UK. But only, I have to say, in those very basic administrative ways, not in any constitutional way. And the truth is that the DUP might say all of those things, but what they won't say is what they would do differently, what it is they want and how they would achieve it. And I think it's about time, with 3 months left to go, that those critics who sit on the sidelines and who complain actually came up with a plan, said what they would do and told us how they're going to get it. Because what I hear is more and more fantasy Brexit. I hear people wanting this kind of unicorn Brexit that will do everything for everyone and will satisfy everyone's needs. It doesn't exist. And the truth is the country is now in a crisis. We don't have the kind of leadership we want. Theresa May, for all her faults, and I'm not a Brexit supporter, and I don't believe that Brexit will work for the best of the country, but Theresa May, for all her faults, has gone to Europe and negotiated the best deal she could get. And yet that now has been rejected. Because I think there are some who actually want us to crash out in chaos because it suits their own libertarian agenda when it comes to throw everything in chaos, survival of the fittest, and we'll do okay out of it.
Stay there for a minute, Naomi, if you can. Our political editor, Mark Devenport, listening across this morning. What does this mean for Northern Ireland, and how many cards do the DUP hold for Arlene Foster? Well, they hold a lot of cards for her future. For Theresa May's future, Mark.
Well, certainly I think that the DUP, whilst their formal position is that they are not going to dictate to the Conservative Party who the new leader is, they have obviously played a role in this, in as much as they have effectively withdrawn support for her over the EU withdrawal agreement. In those circumstances, you've got Brexiteers like Sir Bernard Jenkin, who was on the Radio 4 Today programme earlier on today, saying, look, Theresa May has lost authority. The reason she can't win votes in the House of Commons is because of her treatment of Northern Ireland, and that's why we need a new leader. So they provided the Brexiteers with an argument, if you like, to back up their position.
And Mark, depending on who the leader is, might that change Northern Ireland?
Well, it could change the policy that the Conservative Party takes towards Brexit in Northern Ireland, because clearly, if the Conservative Party was to put a Brexiteer in, whether it's somebody like David Davis, Dominic Raab, or you've already mentioned Boris Johnson, they have made absolutely clear that they are totally opposed to the Northern Ireland backstop. So they wouldn't proceed with the EU withdrawal agreement, and they would have to, I suppose, either go for a no-deal Brexit or ask the EU to try and renegotiate that.
Sorry, interrupt, Mark, but David Jones, the MP David Jones, who's a former Brexit minister, a Tory, is with us this morning. Should she be ousted, David?
Well, look, it's a very sad moment for me because I supported her very early in her campaign for the leadership. But I'm afraid to say that, yes, I think that we need a new leader. And I think that it's time, I'm afraid, for Mrs. May to go.
Why? Is it not exactly the wrong time, David?
Not really, because the agreement that she has signed, which, as you know, is running into all sorts of difficulties in the House of Commons, would, if she persisted with it, cause huge problems to the country, not least, of course, to Northern Ireland, where effectively Northern Ireland would be cut off from the rest of the UK, and it would become administratively and legally, in many respects, a province of the European Union, which is not, I'm sure, what most people from Northern Ireland would want.
Did you put a letter in?
I did. I did put a letter in with a very heavy heart. As I say, I was a very early supporter of hers, but frankly, I could see no way forward other than to do so.
So when we're trying to finalise negotiations with the EU, David, how is this not the most reckless time to bring down a leader of a party that's in there negotiating?
Unfortunately, she's completed her negotiations. She's come forward with an agreement which she signed.
She was going back seeking clarifications, wasn't she?
Well, yes, but she was seeking to clarify an agreement that only a few days ago she was quite happy to sign. And in fact, it's quite clear that the European Union is not going to agree any amendment to it. It would result, I think, in disaster for the country. But in fact, most importantly, I think that it would be devastating for the constitutional future of Northern Ireland. And I made a speech in the Commons on Thursday when I said that, from my perspective, the biggest objection was its impact upon the union of the United Kingdom, and that I felt that it would be catastrophic for Northern Ireland. And it was Northern Ireland, paradoxically to me as a Welshman, that was the final straw and the reason why I decided that I could not support it.
Who do you want to see as your new leader?
Well, there are a number of choices, obviously.
Who would be your top choice?
But my top choice would be David Davis. I work with David Davis in Dexiu. He understands the subject. He is well across it. We need someone who can hit the ground running, and he's in the position to do so.
Well, he led the department. He couldn't do any better.
Well, the unfortunate thing, of course, and at some stage the history of Brexit will be written, but the most interesting chapter, I think, is going to be the fact that David Davis was working on one way forward when in other parts of Downing Street there were people who were working on an entirely different plan, which is the plan that was, of course, unveiled at Chequers.
David, thank you. Crispin Blunt, the Tory MP, Crispin Blunt, joining us today. Morning to you, Crispin.
Good morning.
So how can people, Crispin, going to work this morning, not be wobbling, not be thinking that their security, their, assurance that we've got people in the Conservative Party running the country on our behalf competently and professionally, how can they not think to themselves that this is absolute chaos?
Well, I think the Conservative Party is going to resolve this chaos within from now, in one direction or the other. And that is all going to start to bring clarity and a greater level of confidence about the route forward for our country. And that's what's really at stake here. Now, if the Prime Minister wins the vote this evening, then she will remain in charge and she will continue to command the support of the Parliamentary Conservative Party. And she's then going to have to find a way to reassure the DUP about the path to the 29th of March is going to continue to have that, or otherwise he doesn't have a gun.
Who do you want to see replace her? You put a letter in, right?
I did put a letter in. We can't get to that question until we see whether the Prime Minister continues to command the support of at least half of her parliamentary colleagues. So I'm not going to say what my position is yet. What happens?
Okay, we're losing Crispin Blunt there and his line, which is unfortunate. Let's speak to the editor of the Sligo Tool website, Mick Fealty. What does this mean, Mick, for Northern Ireland, depending who gets that gig?
Well, I mean, I think I agree with Naomi in the sense that, and the betting seems to back her as well, that Theresa May could well get through all of this, in which case your guess is as good as mine as to whether it's made any difference at all. I mean, I think she has to face this vote, if only to take on some of the Brexiteers and basically get them to shoot their boat and then try and proceed on as though nothing had happened. There's a great tweet from John Harris, who writes for the Guardian newspaper in England. He says something I think is quintessentially true about Mrs. May, but also I think there's a certain character of the English people, and he basically said, hanging on in quiet desperation is the English way. And she hasn't really got much option other than to give it everything she's got and try and stay at the wicket and do a Jeffrey Boycott impersonation and try and get through this. But the fundamentals, I mean, and it's, what's amazed me is how popular her deal is in Northern Ireland. You know, you've got some commentators on saying that it's not popular in Northern Ireland, but wouldn't get majority support. I doubt that very much. But the truth is, and I felt this really from the very beginning, that if she cannot get the arithmetic in Parliament to add up, it is a dead letter. It's finished. It's gone. Because if you can't get the numbers, it simply isn't a deal that can get through Parliament. If it doesn't get through Parliament, it's finished. And something has to take its place, whether it is the no-deal Brexit that the libertarian Brexiteers are all dreaming of, or whether in some way it comes to a kind of a change in government and the Labour Party is asked to kind of take the field, put together whatever kind of a ragbag coalition they can get and try and open negotiations on different grounds.
Well, and let's explore that for a moment. So if this political chaos, and I think it's fair for anybody to describe it as that, my goodness, if you've got a prime minister trying to negotiate on behalf of the country, and she then might not be in a job tomorrow morning, that's chaos by anybody's definition. You mentioned the possibility of a Labour government if there were to be a general election after all of this, Mick. What would that mean for the DUP and Northern Ireland's status within the United Kingdom if Jeremy Corbyn got the gig? Lots of ifs.
Yeah, right. In the immediate aftermath of that, not a lot. Because I think the first thing the Labour Party would have to do
is to stop time, call time on the Article 50. And he has reasonable grounds for doing it because the Labour Party has taken shipped an awful lot of criticism for not saying anything on all of this. And although that is accurate criticism, I think what it misses is the fact that Mrs. May's dealing has gone on quietly, and both her and David Davis and Dominic Raab and all of her major negotiators with Europe have said, no, we can't possibly tell you what we're going to do. That would give the game away to the Europeans. But the problem is that doing it all quietly and secretly has meant that there is no national consensus behind the deal that she eventually comes out with. She's not unlike Gordon Brown in the sense that she tends to be secretive, hardworking, diligent, but at the end of the day comes out with deals or propositions that the electorate cannot or will not understand. And I think that is one of the things that the Labour Party would do were it to win an election. That's not a foregone conclusion. But were it to win an election, it would have to stop Article 50 and say, we need a national conversation here. We need to decide what's in the best interest of all parts of the United Kingdom. And that may end up, although personally I wouldn't favour a second referendum, for all kinds of reasons, I would far rather that a political leader in Westminster took the burden upon his own shoulders and said, no, actually, we don't think this is a good deal. We'll maybe go back and renegotiate or try to renegotiate membership and push it on that way. But I think the advantage of having an election, and this is provisional, but if it were to come up with a clear outcome, you could then legitimately claim to the European Union that you were in good faith looking to investigate a practical way forward that was in line with the public will of the United Kingdom.
Should she have considered the DUP's threats slightly more, Mick? How much have they contributed to her potential downfall here?
Right. I think I said last time we were on, the DUP were one of the first to flag up this problem. They flagged it up in December, as Naomi said. But there is a very big difference between the framework and the legal document that comes out. The legal document that comes out the other end of the sausage factory is the enforceable document. And although they've been warning her all along, she went ahead and kept that provision in. And there is a provision to keep Northern Ireland in a different relationship with the European Union in the longer term should further negotiations fail. Okay, now that is conditional. That is conditional. So there's something around that. But the DUP, in a sense, are not the sole problem here. What they did was flag this up early, made it absolutely clear why they were not staying on board any further, and then tactfully withdrew into a kind of a useful silence. Her problem is not simply the DUP. Her problem is Labour, SNP, Plaid Cymru, Liberal Democrats, and the profound split within her own party. The platform upon which she won the election last year has simply fallen apart underneath her feet. So she could have listened to the DUP all day long, but she was always going to have to compromise because this is about trying to set a long-term relationship with the European Union. But at the end of the day, I don't think the DUP was the decisive blow here. What they have done from their own political interest point of view is to get out early and not be around in the proximate space of the catastrophe that seems to be unfolding the government at the moment.
Mick, thanks very much. Morning to you. The SDLP MLA, Claire Hannah. I know lots of you are calling us today. 0330 80 55 55. We'll get you on air in just a second. What's your reaction to this, Claire? Morning.
Well, I think it's characteristic of how feckless the ERG are. Their country's crumbling around them, 107 days to the Brexit cliff, and they decide to just have another kick at the edifice. And I think it's important to remember that none of these men, including the one who were ministers with all of the staff and resources that that had, have ever given an alternative. And the problem actually isn't May not believing hard enough in Brexit. It's that Brexit and all the promises they've made are undeliverable. And I believe, and I think Mick referred to it there, I believe it is. This is part of a strategy to get a no-deal Brexit. These are libertarians. This is shock doctrine stuff that you try and completely crumble the regulations of a country and then remake it in your image. And that should worry everybody who isn't either a member of the aristocracy or a hedge fund manager or whatever most of these guys are. That should really worry people about what it is they're trying to do. But for what it's worth, I suspect she'll win. The party split. They can't elect a leaver. They can't elect a remainer. And I think a lot of them would rather poke their own eyes out than have Boris Johnson or Michael Gove leading their party. I think she should have put the vote in Parliament at the start of the week and forced them to put some of their alternatives down in a serious legislative way. And I think she's done this the wrong way. But I, just for what it's worth, it's a prediction. I suspect she'll survive it. But it's just the last thing that they needed in terms of trying to manage and reassert some stability in the middle of this mess.
Claire, thank you. Fred in Lisburn. Morning, Fred.
Good morning, Stephen. Good morning, everybody. I'll tell you what it is. Theresa May went back on her word time after time. She told every Brexit secretary, she told Boris Johnson and people like that, it was her way or no way. She came over here in the Belfast Agreement and she turned around and she said no British Prime Minister, past or present, would accept a border down the Irish Sea. She has now turned around in this agreement and said that's going to happen. She's lost a lot of support from not only Brexiteers in her party, but in Remainings part of her party too. So how is she going to get this through? Theresa Villiers.
But what's the alternative?
Well, this is what we need to see. We'll maybe need a new leader in the Conservative Party. Who that's going to be, I don't know. I don't know where I'd want to see Boris Johnson or Michael Gove in place. I think the person that might be very good would be Theresa Villiers.
Theresa Villiers.
See what they can come up with. Yep.
And you think you're going to get any different outcome there? What is this negotiation going to be, this new negotiation? What's it going to be?
Well, what we need is get a leader in place. We need to be able to go to the EU and say, look, here is a deal. We're not happy with the deal we have. Well, it's a good deal for Northern Ireland. Who's going to pay for Northern Ireland to stay in the EU? In a backstop.
Fred, thank you. I want to pause there.